Welcome to the ETOP Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Walsh, best-selling author of Escape the Owner Prison, The Contractor's New Way to Scale, Regain Control, and Fast-Track Growth While Loving Life. Today, my guest, Jeff Bandman. What an awesome guy. We are talking to a guy who understands people's central nervous system better than anyone. Now, it sounds odd. I get it. But here's what he can do, and here's what he's going to do for you, and we're going to talk about this today. This is a man who can bring calm to any situation you may be experiencing, okay? Now, who doesn't want that skill? All right, us as entrepreneurs, we're going to run into this stuff all the time, daily life, what we're dealing with in 2020, everything else. So let's get into it. Let's bring Jeff on. Let's have a chat. Jeff, come on board. How are you doing today?
I am outstanding. Thanks so much for having me.
Beautiful, man. Man, this is going to be exciting. This is cool stuff. You know, I love new skills. Okay. Stuff that people overlook and they don't understand. And this is going to be a lot of fun. So a couple things, let's bring our audience up to speed, you know, basically who you are. I know I gave the brief intro, but kind of bring us up to speed, who you are, how you got into this, what you've done in your past. I know you've got military experience and everything else. Well, I'm a jarhead myself. So we're going to, you know, we can share that together, but let's get into that. Fill us in.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is interesting. So when I look back, I just finished a keynote for Firehouse Expo recently. And I said in that keynote, I said, you know, I finally come to realize that my life was not about being a fireman or being an airborne ranger or being a CIA counterterrorism operator. My life was about the opportunity to really discover us, right? What separates success from failure, how we function and perform at the top of our game. And, you know, I say I've been doing mindset and biofeedback stuff before mindset and biofeedback was cool. You know, when I wrote programs back at the agency and understanding human behavior at a very deep level, it was so interesting to me because what I found was it didn't matter if it was bombs, bullets, or the boardroom. There were some really key core components going on internally that if we have some capability, really give us the opportunity to navigate through kind of that high stress, that critical moment, those moments of chaos, those moments of crisis, because that's all scalable, right? I mean, that's all perception based. It's not necessarily the circumstances around us, it's how it's impacting us. And so that's really what I've come to embrace, come to love. I speak about it with entrepreneurs. I speak about it with, you know, senior leadership, parents, people going out in the world doing crazy stuff, right? I mean, it's just across the board. There's really no difference.
Yeah, I like that. It's true. You know, it's cool that you actually had that realization, because I know when we get into our specific area of expertise, our job, if you will, right, our career or our business, that we do tend to get kind of narrowly focused, right, on what we do. And then I know another part of that, it kind of becomes who you are and everything else. But I like that you're able to kind of, you know, take that 10,000 foot view and kind of see this. And you've had enough experience too, obviously, in different areas that can really come together for you. That's impressive.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, and you'll get this, right? Especially coming out of the core, you know, the core creates you as an identity, right? That you are a Marine, or if you started a business, you are an entrepreneur. Like, that is your lifeblood. It's how you identify yourself, and everything kind of gets collapsed into that identity. And, you know, there's this mental construct that then impacts how we feel about things, right? And how we feel about either staying in our business or leading our business or our success. Like, everything collapses in there, and it can become a nightmare, you know, especially if we're trying to grow or exit or scale or any of these things that we find. It is funny to me. You can't think your way out of those moments. Like, physically, biologically, it's scientifically impossible to think yourself out of that crisis, whatever that might be, right? Crisis may be, do I sell my company? Am I going to get more clients? Where's the paychecks coming from this month, right? I mean, we have them all the time, especially as business owners.
Right. Yeah, it's very true. And it's one of those things that it's you have to deal with it. Like you said, you can't think your way out of it. I know what's been 11, 12 years now. I mean, when I kind of had the big epiphany and just left everything that I was doing and completely had to restart over, it was a stressful time. I dealt with it, but you're right. Like you get that identity, just like they did to me in the Corps. Yeah, I'm still a Marine and all that. That's how much it is, right? You're still one. You're never a former one, right? You're always a Marine. That's how much it sticks to us. But my business had become my identity as well. You never saw me without a company shirt on and this and that. And I just the whole, everything was about who I, what I did, and it was pretty amazing. But to come to the realization that that isn't who I was, that helped me a lot. But it was a rough start over.
Man, it is. It's crazy to me because, here's what I've really come to understand and context for this. My last years, with the U.S. government, I was asked to look at how we shift our training from a tactical model, right? Do this, do this, do this, to more of a behavioral model. And what are the behaviors that I'm seeing in a hyper-realistic environment? And how is that impacting awareness, decision-making, connection, all these factors that somebody's got to have? Because I wrote a paper that basically outlined that, as the United States, we're a Western force, we're a nose-up force, right? We're based in knowledge and technology and what we can deal with, but we're fighting a nose-down enemy, right? We're fighting a very intuitive, highly connected, central nervous system regulated enemy. And we had to be able to match that and understand that. And so having the opportunity to work with the best in the world and look inside and understand heart rate variability and minute shifts in stress based on various loads, like all this technical stuff, all came down to sitting there going, wow, I can go collect as much knowledge as possible. But really knowing, really embodying that knowledge, really digesting that knowledge and taking it in is the transition down into wisdom in the body, right? Wisdom in the central nervous system. Because I'm sure you've seen this, right? If you make the choice to exit or leave or grow, or you're facing a big deal, the first thing that happens is you'll have that internal dysregulation. You'll have that gut, that sense of anxiety, that sense of fear, right? Those things start to just kind of mound inside. And then the narrative starts, right? And the narrative triggers over. And then the narrative creates more. And it's just this bounce cycle. This is why, in my work, in kind of the Calm to Chaos platform, it's really about learning deeply how to just stabilize, how to just bring down and understand how to shift your perception, right? Because I've always said that, I love being either on the two-way range or 800, 1300 degrees crawling down a hallway, right? That's where Jeff's comfortable. Most people aren't comfortable there. So it's not the circumstance that causes the impact. It's my ability to regulate in those circumstances that make the difference.
Right. What, how do you, I don't know if you had to, try to figure this out or not, but, in those situations, how do you teach that on a large scale? I get small groups, individuals, things like
Sure.
that, because it seems incredibly intense. And to get people to go that kind of deep and get that understanding, that's got to be a challenge from a military aspect, okay, to teach that on a large scale.
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's very interesting, but there have been some massive progress. I mean, they did even back in the Marine Corps a couple of years ago, they brought in the entire team and they did, mindfulness at scale with, a battalion of Marines and had significant success. Now that was, a good program to the masses, especially down to the, 18-year-old that just showed up off the farm, right?
Right.
How do you teach these kids how to regulate, how to breathe, how to center in? And so I think really it is a, here's what I say. It's a highly complex issue with some very simple solutions that enable us to really embrace movement and then deliver it at scale. And, if you think about it, most times in stress or anxiety or chaos, no matter what it is, right? It doesn't have to be this massive extreme, no matter what it is. The one thing we don't do is focus back in on our breath. We actually kind of hold our breath gets shallow. You know, the breath is the one physiological response we can actually take control over. We can hop in the driver's seat around. And we forget that. We just don't use that simple technique. We don't really understand what a, you know, systematic regulation breath is and how what it does for the body and how it, you know, can align the central nervous system, relax the fascia around the heart, open up what I like to call your cognitive aperture, you know, restore that higher level of thinking in those moments. And so I talk about it all the time. I mean, it's a, yes, there's a lot of complexity to it, but at the end of the day, it's like, breathe, would you? Right? I mean, just settle in, know that system, give your body a chance to just center a little bit, regulate a little bit.
You know, what's interesting about that, you know, so I got a couple of years ago, got the Apple Watch, right? You know, and it does like a little fit thing. And then it gets this thing, like, bing, it goes, time to breathe. And I'm like, I want to throw that watch away. Okay. I'm not breathing. It's like, I got things to do. I'm like, I sit here and breathe.
So I'm thinking, breathe.
I'm like, sit down. I'm okay. I'm getting rid of the watch. You know, you're telling me to breathe. So that's why I'm laughing, because I'm like, yeah, I get it. You know, I mean, and you're right about that. It's just, that is like one of those great things to control. And if you ever do it, because we've all probably done it, even without knowing what we're doing, you know what I mean? And it does bring calm, and it just takes, even if it's, you know, a 30 second, a 60 second kind of thing, you know, it's cool. Cause we, obviously we learn to deal with stress, people do it different ways. Going back to the military standpoint, of course, you learn to deal with stress by being in stress. It was kind of an odd thing.
Sure.
So, but there was no, manual on that. Right. Yeah. Like, you're going to do it and you're going to adapt or you're going to crumble. So it's kind of a pass fail, you know, until we got in some higher level selective training, you know, then you might start getting into this kind of stuff. So I like that you're able to bring this, as you said, you got bombs, bullets, or the boardroom. I like bringing it down to the boardroom, because it's probably one of the things that helped me as an entrepreneur was my military background, as well as understanding that, you know, business is battle. You know, every day, every issue, you know, like you said, whatever it is, whether it's making payroll or closing a deal, whatever it is, it truly is a battle. You know, you're competing on a daily basis, and you've got to have control of yourself, right? Your emotions, your physiology, everything else. I love it.
Well, and that's where I go back to. It's like there came a point where, and this actually happened at home, where I was sitting there and I was like, holy cow. I am the central nervous system of my family. Wait, I'm the central nervous system of my business, of my team, of my community. Like, that is my responsibility. It's not a burden. It's actually a huge tactical advantage. You know, if I can step into a pitch for a deal, right? And I know exactly how to regulate myself, and my central nervous system is settled, relaxed, calm. That translates. That is contagious in a beautiful way. You know, anxiety is the most contagious emotion out there. And anxiety is the, you know, demonstration of a dysregulated central nervous system. So if I'm an entrepreneur trying to make a sale, trying to make a deal, trying to deal with things, I mean, it is my responsibility to understand how to settle, how to like create moments of pause, how to really then just come step in. I mean, you've been around people that you're just like, wow, okay, I can feel this guy's energy. Right. And it is this settled piece of real confidence. You know, I talk about the C3 mechanism, which is comfort, confidence, creativity. Right? That ability to regulate and maintain regulation truly transmits to those around you, because I think the thing that we often forget, and I'm getting ready to prepare a talk around this, is when we strip everything down as a human being, as anything alive on the planet, there's only one question that matters. And that is, am I safe?
Security, the number one human need.
Man, and that is not a logical answer. That is all in body. That is all in energy and physical sensation. Safety is not a thought process. And if I'm, you know, if I'm inviting a client to come join me, they need to know they're safe, that they're safe coming in, that I got their back, that, you know, they're going to get their value for the money that I'm charging. Like that's important. And that's not some kind of thing you do. You can't just, you know, create this atmosphere of, oh, you're safe here and I'm going to validate myself and I'm going to show you all this background. It's like energetically, ooh, yeah, I'm safe, because when I'm safe, I now trust. And when I trust, I have confidence. When I have confidence, I can move with real power and authority. And so that's the line that we walk down.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, I was thinking about that, about my best friend, you know, I think it's been 25 some years now, you know, but we do a lot of stuff. Like I was telling you before we got on, was about mountain climbing, we do hiking, we go, snowshoeing, pulling sleds in the wilderness and do all kinds of crazy stuff. And, you know, and he can be a little anxious, okay, yeah, about stuff, you know, so yeah, he'd always tell me, he goes, man, that's why you take point, man. You are unshakable. I've never seen, he goes, I think we're going to die. And you're like, it's no big deal. And you like, get us through, or you have the strategy. And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's just, you know, that's experience, but it is kind of part of who I am, because I've been through a lot of stuff and I've had to, you know, again, thrown into it, and I was able to adapt. But I love, again, the ability to, because it's like when you learn something new, right? I love to learn. Obviously I do podcasts. I bring on you incredible guests like you, so I can learn. Right. Yeah. I can help my listeners learn, because we need skills. We need, there's no better time than right now, and podcasts and everything else, to bring untapped learning to people who, you know, people like you, who maybe 10 years ago, 15, didn't have an opportunity to share what you know. You know, you have to be the number one, most incredible New York Times bestselling,
right,
get on, you know, just to get someone to listen to you for, you know, 35 seconds. Right. And now we have this ability to search out and bring real knowledge and expertise to people and give them these skills. That's what excites me about this stuff.
Yeah, I love it, man. And I love where we are. I feel like we're making a transition in this place of, I like to call it performance, right? That we're moving from this kind of older model of just mental construct, think your way through it, you know, kind of the 80s, 90s self-development stuff, if you will, which has value, right? I'm not devaluing it, but I'm watching us trend towards now this deeper look into, ooh, what's under that? What is really happening? What is truly guiding us, making our decisions? Where have we, you know, had the impacts of previous trauma? And, you know, even growing up, I mean, it's been, man, this year's, you know, been incredible as far as unpacking, you know, things like trauma, childhood trauma, impact on life, residue, you know, just the things that are left over from our life that we carry with us, and we carry with us into our deals. We carry that into us with our clients. You know, I had the opportunity years ago to map, biofeedback map, guys in combat and people on the stock exchange floor during an extremely tumultuous time. And it's funny, if you just looked at the data, if I just put the data up on the screen, you would flip them. You would think the people on the stock exchange floor were the people in combat, and vice versa.
Yeah, I believe that.
Right? Because what we're dealing with is, you know, the lack of acceptance around certain things. We're dealing with deep-seated fears. We're hitting some real human issues where, you know, the professional soldiers that do go to combat, that do operate those levels, they've already kind of made their peace in some ways. They're in their zone, you know, and very, very, a lot more difficult to dysregulate in certain ways versus kind of an untrained system, if you will. When the stock market plummets, you know, I'm looking at loss of my family, loss of performance, personal value, right? It's like losing a deal. It's like having a client fire you, or, you know, anything else in business. Man, business is gnarly. I'd rather just go back to operate overseas than deal with business some days.
Yeah, it's a constant. There's always that fear of loss, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a huge motivator, you know, in negative and positive ways. You know, but fear of loss is a reality every day in business. You know, and again, this year you take it, fear of loss in your business when you're told you can no longer operate. I mean, that's, you talk about having to deal with a little bit of stress there. Your life's work or your, you know, your current livelihood has now been just deemed unessential.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you're going to take more than a couple deep breaths on that one, I think.
Oh yeah. No, it really, I mean, it takes something, and that's been the journey for me. And even down into like, dealing with money and issues, like I can see, you know, this has been so cool to deal at such a deep level to understand where, you know, for me personally, I grew up in a very scarce financial environment, right? That like, if money came in, it was barely enough. It wasn't enough to kind of handle everything. We weren't sure where we were going to go next. You know, I mean, it was constant, right? And I've learned over time that while I'm open to receiving money and all this stuff, you know, you hear about all the woo-woo stuff, right, that a lot of people resist, right? There's some basis to that. I like to bring some science and reality to that kind of underneath. And what that looks like is what I've seen for myself, and, you know, I hope this touches somebody in your audience, just the understanding that, wow, money can come in, but the possession of money for me, man, it was like, this is all I'm going to get for the rest of my life. And I have to kind of like, and I worry, well, what am I going to pay and what am I going to do and what's this going to be and how am I going to spend this and how am I going to spend it well? And all these things, all this, this narrative starts, but this narrative starts because my central nervous system doesn't know how to be settled around that. Doesn't know how to be like, oh, okay, we're good. There'll be more. Don't stress about it. Right. And so the impact of a way I grew up around money. And then what I realized for me was because I would get so nervous about it. I think a lot of entrepreneurs get this way, especially struggling through business, things dry up, things are scarce. It's like, I've got to wrap my arms around it so tight, but that presents out to others as almost greed. They don't, because we don't share, right? As an entrepreneur, like, no, everything's good. We're good. I've got a great life. Oh yeah. No, we're, because we have to present this aura that everything's perfect, right? Because who would hire us if they knew we were freaking broke, you know, and dragging ass and sucking on life, when actually it's the opposite. And so again, you know, that goes back to a deeper system issue, not the narrative issue that we often like start to read the book around or try to, you know, think our way through this. It's like, wait a minute, just settle in for a second. Like, how, what's that feel like in the body to receive a big check or to land the deal, right? Or to release the company or whatever it might be. What does that feel like in your body? And just kind of be in that experience for a moment.
Yeah, that's powerful, you know, because I don't think, I talked about this, I had another guest on, we talked about, she was talking about being, you know, spending 10 minutes of silence in the morning, 10 minutes of silence at the end, you know, no distractions. I'm like, well, people aren't good with silence, okay, because they don't want to be alone with their thoughts, and like, you're taking it to the level, the physiological level, you know, you're not, now you're talking about trying to understand what your body is actually doing, right? I mean, this is, you're getting, it gets kind of intense, right? Because I think there's going to be realizations there that you're going to be either surprised at or willing to or unwilling to address.
I mean, listen, it's gnarly to look back and be like, whoa, that really had an impact on me, and accept that it had an impact on me. But it is the opportunity to go to do real work around it, to do real centered healing. I mean, I like to say, you know, we have this false belief that meditation is about thought. Meditation has nothing to do with thought. Meditation practices is all a body practice. It's all breath. It's all regulation. It's all relax the fascia around the heart, send signals of safety to the brain, anchor yourself in the present moment. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah.
That's cool. You know, because I know there's other things too, right? You can see a lot of different manifestations of stress management. Like I was, you know, let's eat. A lot of people do that, right? They medicate themselves that way. That's another physical manifestation, right? So now you're creating this, your body creates a desire to medicate yourself. And there's a million different reasons for that, you know, whether it's from childhood trauma to something else. But next thing you know, now what are you? Unhealthy, right? I'm 60 pounds overweight, 80 pounds overweight. I'm trying to function. Now you're trying to be top of your game, close deals, run a business. Okay. It's a really it's a really bad trajectory, right? It usually ends pretty poorly, either with losing business, total business loss, losing money, not performing, not competing well.
Yeah.
And it all ties, and I'm on that physical level, right? It all goes back to that, you know? So, but you start working out, you start getting fit, you start eating better, and everything changes.
Man.
Right. Everything changes for you. Your mental state, like you said, your physiological aspect of what you're doing, you start to become an overcomer. You're like, man, I'm feeling good. I got more energy. I can do this stuff. And then the key though here, Jeff, is how do you got to maintain this, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you see from a longevity standpoint? Okay. Cause I always tell people every diet works if you do it. But what happens when you stop?
Right.
So I'm always concerned about the stopping part. How do we maintain this going forward forever?
Yeah. I mean, I think here's, I'm going to answer that in a couple of ways if that's all right with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cause I am, pardon the expression, I hope it's okay, but I'm like a shit simple guy. Like I don't want massive complexity. I operate in a world with people, you know, for a long time it was like, what's your stack in the morning, right? People are like, do these 10 things in the morning. I don't want to do anything except have a cup of coffee when I get up in the morning. And what I've watched occur, especially over the last even 5 to 7 years, there's just this bigger list of things to do. What podcast you listen to, what book you're going to read, how much are you meditating? What kind of meditation are you doing? What do you do? You know what I mean? Like it just goes on. And it's just more, and it just adds more to us. So I like to bring this down to a simple and sustainable practice, lifestyle. Like this is the embodiment of it. And it has to work for you. I give a lot of people a lot of leeway, you know, like when we talk about breath work, and I get questions all the time, and I've done it all, right? The whole gamut out there of breath work. And people will say to me, I tried, it doesn't work for me. I'm like, well, you have a problem breathing? And so like, let's just look at it this way. Breath work. Here's your parameters. The minimum you want to do to create a systematic regulating breath is simply a 4 second in, maybe a slight pause, and a 4 second out. And on the in breath, that's it. That's it. That's all you got to do. And just here's the thing. And if you can get to the level where that in breath actually goes deeper into the belly, like you actually just push the belly out, expand the diaphragm, beautiful, right? That's great. And even if you can step up a little bit after that, and on the out breath, just regulate it leaving the body. Don't blow it out. Don't manage it. Just relax the jaw and allow gravity to take the breath out of the body. And then back in. And if you feel more comfortable doing it 5-5 or 6-6, I don't care. Like you find your own rhythm and you just do that consistently for 1 minute, for 30 seconds. That's it. That's just a simple, simple, coherent breath process and play with it, right? Maybe you do a longer breath. Maybe you do a box breath. Maybe it's 4 in, hold 4, out 4. Like it doesn't require anything. If you just create a systematic, regulated breath, equal in, equal out, deep into the belly on the way in, relax and allow gravity to release the breath on the way out. I promise you that will begin to regulate your system. That's it.
You know, it's interesting. I have 6 kids, right? So my one son, he's 15.
Chaos. Yeah.
But he's 15. So now he's doing this thing. Like he likes to swim and do this stuff. So he found some guy on YouTube. He's like, he's learning to hold his breath longer. Right. Mm-hmm. So we told him, and he's a calm dude. Right. I mean, his name he is like Mr. Like super calm, but now he's just under 3 minutes holding his breath.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Like he's literally doing this thing. I'm like, dude, that's impressive. He's like, well, there's these techniques and stuff. And just hearing this from you, I'm like, man, this kid's really helping himself out. He doesn't even know it. You know what I mean?
Setting himself up. Yeah. I mean, if you want to get in and that becomes your thing, rad. I mean, I got, you know, it's like Wim Hof, right? Any of these guys, like that's the, if you really want to like dive into it, there's cool, amazing stuff there. Like there's so many ways to do it.
Yeah, but, I just love the aspect. I like tying those things together, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of time with the kids and stuff like that. And I love seeing what they do, and they all do different stuff. But just knowing that, and then I just connected with his personality, You know what I mean? It's kind of cool. So it's kind of really started making sense just now. So yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. And here's the next thing. It's like, if anybody works with me or you do any of my stuff, the first thing I do is have you define your space. You know, I mean, which I love to at least 10 minutes. If you can get 30, great. Put it in your calendar, communicate around you. Like that's the best thing I ever did for myself, was just actually create a healthy boundary for myself, 10 minutes, and worked my way up to 30 minutes a day. And I didn't even have to be at the same time every day. And I didn't put any requirements on myself when I started. I was like, this is just my time. If I want to scroll on Facebook or flip through Instagram or, you know, it doesn't matter what I want to do.
Right.
But I'm giving myself that time. Like I'm just entering into this space to protect my time. And over a couple of weeks, suddenly it's like, what do I want to read? What do I want to do? What can I learn right now? What can I give myself right now? But I had to give myself the space, right, to regulate in that process. I had to define my time and create my own little bubble. And then I had to play and F off and do whatever I wanted to do in that time. That then led me to a place where, like, wow, I would actually like to learn something in this space. So that's like anchoring one. You know, and if I can do 2 minutes of regulated breathing in that space and then, you know, flip through and do whatever I want for 8 minutes, rad, right? But those are just some very fundamental things. No requirement. There's nothing to do. There's no list you have to do or live up to or compare yourself to. Just define your own bubble. You know, I've got a good friend who's got 3 daughters that are like 5, 7, and 9. Right. And just they're locked in the house. He can't get a space. And so literally, you know, we made a sign, we hung it on the door. I know them really well. And, you know, we called a family meeting and said, dad gets 20 minutes to himself, you know, at this time. And he created some boundaries and some rules and made some requests and like got on their level. And it's been like a game changer for him.
Yeah, I do that. I do, you know, minimum 1 hour every morning, but that's why I get up at 4:00, 4:30, because no one's up. So I get that time. I do a Bible study for like an hour, and then I take that time and I totally focus on that. And I've been doing that, I mean, daily for just almost 4.5 years now.
Yeah.
Okay? Like I haven't missed a day, and I've done this stuff. And you're right. It makes a huge difference. You know, you take it to the next level. It's about, you know, scheduling and all that kind of stuff and having purpose and, you know, really setting. If you can take that time and use that as an example, it's almost like starting to create a system. I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs and people who on these higher levels of success, and it's always about protecting your schedule.
Man. Yeah. Right?
I mean, that's a big, and it's got to work in with like what you do, that protection of your schedule. If you can combine like what you're teaching here, I think you put those two together throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think you got a day of accomplishment every day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look at natural points of transition. You know, I have taught Navy SEALs and, you know, high level intelligence operatives and, you know, all the cool guys out there, like recovery, right? Recovery periods and recovery points. You know, recovery periods are kind of defined spaces in time throughout my day, maybe natural transitions that are 3 minutes or more that give me an opportunity to check in, start that off with some regulated breathing. Maybe I do an anchoring breath or something to kind of get started. Just focusing on settling my central nervous system, washing off wherever I came, getting ready to go into wherever I'm going. Like that's a defined space, you know, but then we deal with recovery points, which are like instant, you know, 10 to 30 seconds. These are like, you know, I would say in my old world, it's, you know, bailing out of the vehicle after hitting an IED, moving to a point of cover, and actually taking a breath before I come out to engage a target versus just trying to get out and missing. Right? Those, it's no different. Like walking in the boardroom, walking into a client meeting, walking into a space, pause 30 seconds, anchoring breath, regulation breathing, give yourself 30 seconds, settle a central nervous system. I don't think about anything. And then I just walk in the room and it's like, now I am the central nervous system. Now I am the calm in the room. Now I am creating the physical sensation of safety and trust and confidence.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I mean, it's, you know, and I get like a, you know, a number of people can do that intuitively. Mm-hmm. But that's a very, very small percentage.
It's a trained man. It's like, you know, it's anything else, you know, it's back in the Marine Corps. It's like seeing your front sight. You got to work it. Right. But give yourself the leeway to work it. Lock down 5 minutes every morning, get up 5 minutes early, lock down 5 minutes, start with 1 minute of regulated breathing, right? To just don't try to take on everything. As entrepreneurs, I think we do that. I've done it. I'm like way guilty. We see a technique, we hear something, we're like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to lock down an hour and I'm going to, you know, it's like, yeah. No, you're not.
It usually ends in failure. Okay?
It because, will.
Because you're going to be inconsistent and then mm-hmm. you're going to quit and it's yep. the same thing. You know, I do that with working out. You know, if I've had a big layoff for a while and I got to get back in the gym, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I got to start hitting an hour a day. I'm like, well, what have you been doing? Well, nothing. I said, well, how about you start with 10 pushups in the kitchen?
Yep.
Okay. Exactly. Because I did that, right? It's like, okay, yep. My only thing I have to do today is 10 pushups.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's so I'm in the kitchen, literally, like I bang out 10, I stand up, okay, I'm good. I go, well, I'll do 10 more. So yeah. I end up doing 180 pushups. Okay.
Yeah, man.
But I was well above my goal of 10.
Yes. Okay,
but I was a success at 10. You know, yeah. So then, and the next day, if I want, I had to do 15 only, right? And I got to do yeah. it. So it was just, it's a good way to do it. So yeah, it's one of those things that, again, as you know, type A's,
okay, yes.
which most entrepreneurs are, right? We are just, yes. I am just, and I'm a nut when I work out anyways.
Sure.
You know, I just love high intensity stuff and I'll torture myself and I just like it, you know, but age has brought a lot of wisdom. Okay. I don't, you know, I mean, I've been battling hard and everything else, but
yep.
there's a point now where, okay, you just ease into it so
yep.
that you can do it again. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because when you have skills, I always tell people this, Jeff, like I'm a boxer and everything else, right? All this stuff. So I have skills, but physiologically, my skills, my physiological, my muscles, my tendons can't keep up with my skills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when I'm throwing shots at the bag, okay, it's good. The first, you know, the first couple of rounds, the next right. day, I'm a Tyrannosaurus, right?
Yes.
I can't extend my arms right yep. from my elbows.
Yep.
So I'm walking around like a T-Rex, right? So oh, it's just, you've learned it. Like, okay, you got to understand there's skills and there's the physical aspect. You know, which kind of ties into what you're talking about here. You know, we got to learn to control the physiological aspect of what's going on in our body. And it definitely, because I do a lot of chiropractic stuff too and work with them and mm-hmm. you know, get chiropractic. And it's all that ties together. That central nervous system that you're talking about, it's key to performance. Like, it's amazing the stuff I've learned.
Yeah. I mean, if you give yourself the room to play with it, right? To not be up against a comparison or a judgment or some competition around something, you know, just give yourself the room to play with it. You begin to find your lane. I mean, there's not the way to do it. Everything is just a way, right? If you're producing results, that's what matters, right? That's it. And if you're not, okay, why? Right. And if you begin to look back, I promise you, if you are willing to be curious about what's going on, like think of the last meeting that you were really anxious about, you really wanted to close that deal, man, because, you know, business is drying up and man, it's just, you know, we got to pay the bills and I'm not sure where it's going to come from. And am I going to lose everything? Like all of that transmits, And all of that transmits in a way that says you're not safe. That's it. You know, so yeah, that's why this to me, I don't need to, you know, we can teach mental construct stuff later. We'll get there. You know what I mean? All those things, it's all there. But at the end of the day, it's just recognizing, you know, when you're out of whack, you know, when you feel anxious, nervous, concerned, pit of the stomach, heaviness in the chest, breath starts to dysregulate a little bit. Right? Those are all indicators. And you got to find your own indicator. You know, I had a young woman in the agency years ago. You know, we had to run the kind of the the weapons programs for everybody, right? They're deploying overseas. They got to come see us, get certified. Most of them don't want to carry a gun anyway, you know. And she would shake, and she came to me one day. She's like, "How do I get rid of the shakes?" You know, shooting. And I'm like, "Well, you're not going to probably. Like, I don't have the time to do that with you. You know, I've got you for a week.
Right.
I can't work that out." I said, "But what we can do is begin to learn to regulate, begin to understand, begin to settle in. We'll minimize that, but that's just your indicator. The higher the shake, the more breath work you need to do, the more regulation you need to do. You know, that anxiety, that little fear, that little me inside, that buzzing inside, that's your indicator. Ooh, what do I need to do now? Oh yeah, I listened to that podcast with that guy. What'd he say to do? Four in, four out. Oh, right. 30 seconds. Wow, it really works." You know, that's how it goes. It's the name of the game.
Well, I think, you know, what I've always discovered is that everything starts with awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you have to, once you're aware of this, like if someone's listening to this, guaranteed the rest of the day, they're going to be aware of their breathing, mm-hmm. how they're physiologically reacting to things and stuff. And hopefully they take that with them. Right. And they understand that and start to pay attention. It doesn't mean it's your sole focus, but when you can understand that and start correcting and using these skills, just a couple of these, the simple things, like you said, the breathing, that's a tremendous asset. You know, it's like anything else, right? We want to build assets, right? It's assets over liabilities.
Yep.
All right. And people always think about money and property, but there's also you're your greatest asset. I always mm-hmm. teach that, you know, so you've got to improve your asset.
Yes.
Right. You got to invest in your asset. You got to grow your asset, you know, and if you can't control yourself, all right. I mean, that's kind of the measure of a man in the sense, you know what I mean? You got to have that self-control. You got to have the discipline. Okay. And those are words, right? I can read a motivational, you know, quote every day. It's not going to change me. It's not going to change me. All right. Cause I'm already motivated. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can't motivate the unmotivated for one, but I'm already motivated, but I need a way to control. I don't need a cool saying.
Yeah.
I need a physical, you know, I need a way to physically manifest, you know, improving my asset. I guess that's the best way to say it.
Man, absolutely. You know, absolutely. As a matter of fact, in the talk I gave, you know, it was titled The Space Between, and it was talking about finding the moments, the intervals in the chaos, right? And that's where I find the opportunity to settle, the opportunity to observe, to broaden my cognitive aperture, to connect with the environment, to move with purpose, right? That's where I find that space. And one of the, in the lead up to this, the guy that asked me to give me the talk, you know, talked about, he's like, "I want you to talk about courage." And as I was sitting there thinking about that, I was like, you know, that's too small for us these days. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a fireman, if you're a police officer, if you're going to the military, it doesn't matter. Right? You get out of bed today, right? You've met the threshold of courage.
Right.
Right. There's, you don't need to go, but if we're not needing to find courage, what is it? What are we really looking for? And I think when we get into the body, what we find is wisdom. We find real wisdom, and we all have it at scale in our own right. And if we don't have it, you know, that's the great thing about podcasts. Like when you started talking at the beginning of the show, a podcast is an opportunity to borrow wisdom. Right. I mean, that's something I learned early on in the fire service. I mean, I started riding fire trucks at 16 and developed by, you know, guys that were DC firemen from the 60s and 70s, you know, pre-air pack days. These guys were crawling down the hall, breathing air off the nozzle. Right. I mean, you're talking out of a sponge. And these guys surrounded me. I'm hearing these stories. I'm listening to, you know, what they did. And what I came to understand early was, ooh, this is an opportunity to borrow wisdom, because I don't have mine yet, right? I'm just a kid. I don't have enough yet, but I can borrow their wisdom. I can embody that, take that in and use that. And that's the beautiful thing about, you know, this and these shows and the opportunities to connect and listen. It's not just like, oh, here's another thing to do. It's like, ooh, wait a minute. What was there for me, and what action do I take off of that? And you're right. If all you do today is pay attention to your breath and like engage it and activate it, I've done my job for the day. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I always say, you know, advice is cheap.
Yep.
Wisdom is gold.
Gold.
Okay, so I mean, it's just, and you have to know the difference, right? There's all the people going to tell you all kinds of do this, do that, and everything else. But when you're listening, just like when you listen to wisdom, again, we'll tie right back to what you're talking about. When you get that person who's been there, right? Maybe he's, I don't care what age is it. He's done, you know, he's made the gazillions. He's, you know, totally calm. He's super achieved, wall full of stuff, everything else. And he's just hanging in. He just, and I had a client like this, I often refer to, he's dead now, but you know, billionaire guy. But when he spoke, I mean, I wasn't a good listener, so I didn't listen well, but he had incredible, incredible wisdom that he could say that. And you look at it like, you're no, you know, it's just like, I never took into account, you know, I knew the level he was at. I knew everything he had and done, but sometimes I couldn't really understand the value of the wisdom he was giving me. You know, so, you know, the listening aspect, the listening end is a big part of that physiological experience too.
Yeah.
You know, podcasts have taught me that as I've learned to listen more.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a different place. You're in a different place now when you're interacting with someone else.
Man. Yeah. When you're actually in the conversation, it's beautiful. I love to tell the story if it's all right with you. Just the essence of wisdom. Like one of my greatest mentors in the fire service, a guy's name was Al Dutton. He's like 5'4" and he's like the quintessential fireman, right? I mean, just DC, went to work for DC the year I was born. So by the time I show up at the firehouse, this guy's been to thousands of fires, right? And just the easiest, you know, unassuming, coolest cat you'll ever meet. And he would just, I mean, oozed wisdom everywhere. And at 17 or 18, we're sitting on the front bumper of the fire truck and Al's drinking his Mountain Dew, and Al passed away a few years ago, retired as a battalion chief, but I'll never forget this day. And it just, I didn't fully get it at the time, but I just let it sit. And he said to me, he says, Jeff, you know, there's really just three rules to this game. And I said, okay, here it comes. You know, it's like pull up a chair. It's time for some wisdom. And he said, rule one, if it isn't on fire, it isn't a big deal. And I thought, wow, yeah. You know, because we get so spun up over all the other things going on. Tones drop, getting that fire engine, scream down the road. It's not on fire, it's just not a big deal. I said, okay. He said, rule two. He said, if it is on fire and you just do your job, it'll go out. And man, I was like, yeah. And that was just, that is accurate. We just showed, the minute we showed up, if we just did our job, the fire went out. And then rule three. And rule three is, if it is on fire and you did your job and it doesn't go out, it wasn't going to go out anyway. Now that rule three took a while to really embrace, but man, I have accepted that nugget of wisdom that I got, 30 years ago now, into every aspect of my life. Right. We get so, and that's a central nervous system base. We get so spun up over so many things. And it is on fire, it just isn't a big deal.
Yeah, I think that's that, you know, there's things that are out of your control. You have to not try to control.
Yeah. It's you like, know, okay, I did everything I could do.
Right. You know, I teach some of my kids too, and I often tell my wife, it's like, well, I don't have control of that.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't bother me. Doesn't that bother you? I go, I have no control of it.
Yeah.
Can't, you know, I can't let it bother me. You know, I have to deal with what I can control. And when we look at in a business standpoint, like this year, right, a lot of stuff that was out of our control, you know, and things, but regardless of kind of what's going around you, you have to function, right? We got the mission is the mission. We got to get this done. You know, I'm in business to stay in business.
Yeah.
If I set goals, I still have to achieve my goals. And I deal with some, you know, some great clients I have coaching, and I've got friends who are big hitters, and they've had to do the same thing. They had launched businesses, you know, the day before the big lockdown came.
Right. Yeah.
And now you talk about everything you've been planning for months and spending money and creating videos and marketing and it all had to flip.
Yeah.
Pivot 180 degrees. I mean, it's like, you know, good luck with that, right? If you're not in control. Right. But you had to focus on what you can control. You had to make, you know, hard decisions and make things happen. And guess what? They're still moving forward. Yeah, okay. Man, maybe not at the pace they wanted. Maybe they got a few tweaks, are still working out, but they didn't collapse.
Yeah.
because they had control, they had the confidence, and they understood the mission is the mission, and you got to get it done.
Yeah, man. And just that ability to sit back and be like, okay, I did my job, didn't go out. Just not my thing. Can't carry that responsibility for it, you know, and this year especially. And you know, but this year's just accentuated. I mean, it is things like that will happen all the time, right? Big launch, things don't go right, market shifts, conditions change. It's just gonna happen. Just gonna happen. The more regulated I can be, I just, wisdom is that source, right? That real source of, okay, what's next? Where do I move? So I love it.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff, Jeff. This has been really, really fascinating. You know, I mean, I love this stuff. I love what you're able to bring to people here. And on that note, how can people kind of follow you, get in touch with you? Let's give them some ways to connect with you. You know, kind of, you know, and the things you're offering, everything else, you know, and I'll put them all in the show notes and everything else, you know. So if people want to enhance these skills that you're talking about, right? I know we got the 4 and 4. That's all good. Okay. But obviously we're all type A's and we're going to want to do more regardless. Right. So I want to make sure people can get in touch with you, follow you, and let's help some people. It'll be awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty easy, man. All you gotta do is go to jeffbadman.com or Instagram, Jeff Badman. I think on Facebook I'm at chaos06, which would be my call sign. So yeah, I'm just out there and I'm, you know, I love connecting. I take the time to actually respond to people, and I get emails and notes and messages all the time. And there's a variety of things that you can take advantage of right now until the end of the year. The 10-day Calm to Chaos program is free. Show up in your email box, got to work it, got to take it on. But it's condensed. It won't take that much time. It's not, you know, a task list of things to do. It's just an opportunity to begin to shift. So that's a great way to kind of start and play with some of the stuff and see what's there. There's a 90-day intensive that I do with a small group of people every so often. I try to really curate that group. And then there's just some fun stuff coming 2021 as we get back to, you know, releasing. And, you know, I do wild stuff, like we do a meditation shoot on the range where you go from the cushion to the gun. I promise you it will unzip you in ways you never understood you could be unzipped.
I like that.
Oh yeah, man. That's good stuff, dude. It is a radical, I've done it for years. It is a radical experience.
Yeah. You know, I love that, because people, they seldom equate those two things. Okay.
Together. No, that's the intention. It is intentionally designed to cause some conflict, some internal conflict.
I love that, man. I mean, we can go so deep on this stuff, you know. I mean, we have scratched the surface today.
Oh yeah.
Okay, for sure. So we're gonna come up with some more stuff. We're gonna do this again if you're willing, Jeff.
Man, I love it.
I'm definitely gonna get you in my academy too, to do some real training and stuff there. You know, I think it'll be super powerful for my high achievers and stuff like that. You know, this could be a lot of fun. But this is a real skill. Right. I mean, this is a real skill that you can, you know, and like you said, what I love, it can have immediate effect in the next 30 seconds.
Yep.
Okay. Now we don't get that. Okay. Unless you're getting, you know, food from a window, then you feel good. But, you know, it's other than that, this is something that can change. They can change the outcome of your day, of the next hour, of the next 5 minutes. I mean, I love that kind of stuff. So real usable skills here, man. So I just appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, being with us, sharing this stuff. We'll definitely do this again. Like I said, I'll put all this stuff, all the connections in the show notes and everything else, so people can follow and get in touch with you.
Beautiful. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thank you for listening to the ETOP podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you liked what you've heard, please leave a great review for us. Your subscription and review helps us reach more people so we can show them how to escape the owner prison. Also, check out the links in the show notes about today's guests and more ways to connect with ETOP on social media. Stay strong and keep moving forward with your business.